Honorable members, good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to a meeting occasioned by the fact that we need to adopt the recommendations of the high level panel by the 58th. So we ask Cody to prepare something for us and move it. And then we will have to take a decision. But I don't anticipate the meeting being more than 20 minutes, maybe half an hour at that later. One agenda item, presentation by our content advisor and what's the other title? And researcher, and then we will take it from there. Is there any other agenda item?
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Colleagues. Not an agenda item, but I read a couple of weeks ago about the Deputy Auditor General. Well, what is the situation there? I mean, the interview at the rear pointing orders, and maybe you can tell us.
No, I also saw that, and I did a little bit of homework. My understanding is that the Deputy Auditor General's term comes to an end next year, February or March. But the procedure is that the Auditor General does the interview. For us, it's for information purposes, as opposed to the AG, where we do, when I say we, I'm saying Parliament.
Yeah.
In terms of the Deputy AG, I think it's just for information.
Okay.
And I would imagine, as a stakeholder, for us to keep our eye and ear on the ground. But if we don't have any direct role, I speak under correction, because
is that...
Right.
Yes,
in the past, but then the DAG can be reappointed.
Correct.
Yeah, unlike the AG.
Correct. All right. Honorable members, thank you very much. Can we then hand over to Colin to take us through documents, if you have any, and then we'll take it from that side.
Well, thank you, Honorable Chair, and good morning, members. I'll just come to briefly, to present this document briefly, which is going to be form a basis for our report. Actually, as we know, that on the 13th of May, we received a letter from the Deputy Speaker instructing the committee, that is the SCOWEC, to consider the recommendations of the high-level panel. Then the recommendations that were relevant to us as the SCOWEC, there were four recommendations that were relevant to us. Number one, the first one was the urgently building on the ASMAI report with the objective of strengthening and ensuring the effectiveness and reachability of Chapter 9 institution. So basically, we recall, honorable members, that in 2007, there was an ad hoc committee on the review of Chapter 9 and associated institutions that was led by Kadasman. Professor Kadasman. So that ad hoc committee made the recommendations, with some of the recommendations were relevant, peculiar in fact for Auditor General. So basically what the recommendation that come from high-level panel was saying that consider those recommendations that were made by that Kadasman report or that committee, which was called ad hoc committee on Chapter 9 institution and associated institutions. So, which means the first recommendation, we must go and consider those recommendations from that committee, which normally known as Kadasman reports. The second recommendation was introducing additional regulations, regulating mechanisms for these institutions to ensure their independence, ensuring the timely appointment of commissioners of the Chapter 9 institutions. That is the second recommendation from the high-level panel. And the third one was when it is strengthening the powers of the Chapter 9 institution to ensure that their requests for cooperation and recommendation are taken seriously by the department and parliament, and enforceability is ensured. And the number four, the last one, provide Chapter 9 institution with appropriate resources. These were four recommendations that were coming from, that came from a high-level panel. So what I did in this document, we decided to take each and every one recommendation and assess whether is there anything that we've done Is there anything that is outstanding or need to be done? Or is there anything that anything that is needed in order to action those particular recommendations? If we have actioned, how far have we fully implemented, have we fully actioned them? If we still refuse that there are still outstanding gaps, where are those gaps? And in particular from that letter, well, to say that if there are gaps, you must draw an action plan which has to be disaggregated into short, medium, and long-term plan, for each and every gap or item that is still outstanding. So this is exactly the core or crux of this report, and that's what is required by the Deputy Speaker's office, that each and every gap, you must come up with an action plan which has been disaggregated into short-term, medium, and long-term plans. So I started to address the first recommendation, which is the one which talks about the recommendation of the Kata-Smile report. The first recommendation in the Kata-Smile report now, you still remember, it's one of the recommendations from high-level panel. Then the first recommendation from Kata-Smile report was to say that the legal mandate for international work performed by the Auditor General should be clarified. Then what I said, well, the best co-work, I think that is covered because the public audit amendment bill clarifies the scope of the Auditor General to perform international work. We recall that we even included a section. We inserted a section in clause 5, which was AA, that was specifically dealing to give the powers of allowing the AG to perform international audit. So in the PAA, we have addressed this problem that was identified in the Kata-Smile report or in that report that was produced by that ad hoc committee on the Chapter 9 and associated institutions. So there's no outstanding issues here because we have dealt it in the PAA bill. The second recommendation from Kata-Smile report was the Auditor General should continue to develop capacity to conduct performance audits of all national and provincial departments and municipalities. What I said is that as per the report and also the strategic plan of the AG, each and every year they always develop what we call as a 5-year annual performance plan, performance audit plans. So these performance audit plans, for example, they plan what sector they are going to do the performance audit for this coming 5 years. For example, the previous, I recall that they did the performance audit in the infrastructure, in water and housing and education. And they submitted or they tabled those particular reports, performance audits here in Parliament. So one of the, besides that, they formulate the 5-year strategy, the 5-year audit performance audit plan. They also capacitated and formulated a unit within the Auditor General, a performance audit unit. As per their last report in the annual report, they reported that that unit has employed 24 employees, which are highly expertise, that from engineering, educationists and surveyors and all that kind of expertise in order to be responsible for performance audits. And in addition to that, they say that they've got in their audit team, they've got integrated special skills that they just integrate with any audit scheme so that everybody teams to audit regularly, to perform regular audits, so that there should be an exchange of expertise and skills so that even the high level skills can learn what is the methodology of auditing for regular audit, so that they must not whenever they do their performance audit, they can just do it with an ease without taking experience from what is happening to the regular audits. So to my argument, I say that I think the Auditor General has indeed with those programs which has indeed is addressing the capacity of it's on the way to addressing the capacity to perform the performance audits, to conduct the performance audits in the all national and provincial departments. I don't think there's anything that is outstanding here as the plan and also the reports of the Auditor General. Secondly, another recommendation was that the Auditor General and the standing and the Standing Committee on Public Accounts should bring persistent disregard for Auditor General's recommendation by government departments and other institutions to the special attention of the National Assembly. Again, here I said that I think to me I said this is addressed because by the Public Audit Bill. If you recall, the main objective of the Public Audit Bill is to provide the Auditor General to take remedial action to ensure that losses suffered by the state are where possible recovered, as well as to refer certain suspected material irregularity for investigation. So I think now the recommendation of the Auditor General are no longer going to be just taken for granted in this, as suggested by the recommended by the ASMA report. And the last recommendation from ACAD ASMA report was to Auditor General to continue its effort at increasing public awareness of activities of the Auditor General of the office. We recall, honorable members, that after the appointment of the current AG, they revised their strategic plan. After the revision of their strategic plan, they come up with a 4 strategic oriented goals, which normally calls them, they normally call them the 4 V's. Wherever they come and report in their annual report, they report according to those 4 strategic oriented goals. The first strategic oriented goal was value acting auditing. Second one was visibility for impact. The third one is viability. And the fourth one is vision and values driven. The second strategic goal, which is visibility for impact, there's a strategic objective of that strategic goal. The strategic objective of that strategic goal, which is engagement with citizens. The objective which is aiming to achieve the strategic goal, which is this one of the visibility impact. So they plan to engage citizens. So for example, under that strategic objective of engaging with citizens, for 2017-16 annual report, the AG has reported that they have managed to engage various organizations, individuals, and community-based organizations, which include the briefings for his general reports and performance reports and speeches, and also anchored discussions with local community radios and national radios. So in order to keep public aware about increasing awareness, public awareness of the activities that happen in his office. Further than that, for the strategic plan that for 2018 and 2021 strategic plan that AG submitted to Parliament in November last year that we have approved as a score, they also planned in one of their plannings. That strategic plan also highlighted one of the strategic objectives is that they want to they have increased engagement with citizens by formulating what we call as AG citizen engagement strategy. That citizen engagement strategy is aiming to, not rather than to go into radios and talk about the activities of what the AG is doing, is also aiming to also educate and empower the citizen in order to aim for the citizen to hold their public representative into account, is what they said in 2018 and 2021 strategic plan that we have approved. So they even moved on the point of saying that we want to educate the citizen about their activities. They want to educate and empower now the citizen about, in order to be able at the end of the day to hold all those that are elected representatives into account. So that's what they said for 2018 and 2021 strategic plan. So this crystallized the commitment of the AG in order to increase the public awareness of its activities. And further than that, not rather to increase the public awareness of its activities, and further educate and empower the citizen. And the last recommendation from ACAD ASMA was that there should be a formal agreement with other Chapter 9 institutions to deal with any possibility of duplication or overlap of functions. This is particularly necessary where there is a referral of cases or complaints to another body. Specifically, the committee recommends that the Auditor General formalize its relationship with public protector and establish a mechanism to track and monitor referred matters. In addition, the Auditor General should include details of number of complaints investigated, outcomes and referrals in its annual report. This is the last recommendation from our CARTASMA report. Currently, I think there is no existence of formal agreement or in the form of memorandum of agreement with other Chapter 9 institutions, including public including public protector, as envisaged by CARTASMA report. However, by the clause number 3 of the Public Audit Act, there is an insertion of a new subsection there, which is 1A, where the bill empowers the Auditor General to refer any suspected material irregularity to the relevant public body for investigation. This public body, of course, includes the public protector. So this is the only thing that we have. So for this, I think there are gaps or outstanding issues like this one of formalizing the mechanism. There are no formal mechanism established to track monitor cases referred by AG to the public body for investigation. And second, currently, in this integrated annual report, AG doesn't report the number of complaints or investigating or outcomes or referrals. In the last 2016-17, which was the last annual report, it doesn't report on the number of cases investigated and the number of referrals, and also the AG doesn't have any formal relations in terms of memorandum of understanding or agreement with other Chapter 9 institutions. So I think this is the gap that the committee will need to plan, do an action plan on how are we envisaged to close it. Coming back to the recommendation now, from the second recommendation from the high-level panel. The second recommendation, as I read it, it was introducing a designated listing mechanism for this institution to ensure their independence, ensuring the timely appointment of commissioners of Chapter 9 institution. So from this recommendation, I think for us, in particular for AG, I think the Public Audit Act, in particular Section 3B of the Public Audit Act, provides AG with full legal capacity and is also ensuring independence. Because if I read it, it says that that Act provided with a full legal capacity is independent and subject only to the Constitution and law, including this Act, and must be partial, must exercise the powers and perform the function of the office without fear and favor. So this provision, according to me, it ensures the independence of AG as a Chapter 9 institution, because it's only subject to the Constitution, which was envisaged by this recommendation, which says that introducing a general regulation mechanism for this institution to ensure their independence and timely appointment of commissioners. Even on this one, to us, for in our cases in the AG, the appointment of the AG as the chair alluded is governed by the Section 6 of the Public Audit Act, where the speaker has to initiate the process, and then the process to appoint the person who's fit for becoming an auditor. So that process is initiated by the speaker, and National Assembly deals with that process. So ever since, for the previous two AGs, that is the one and the previous one, Nombem, I think there were no delays that have been experienced, and there was a smooth transition period between these AGs. So I think even this one, this second recommendation from the high-level panel, I think we've dealt with it. We don't have any issues with this in the regard. And the third one, when needed, the strengthening the powers of Chapter 9 institution to ensure that their requests for cooperation and recommendation are taken seriously by the Department, Parliament, and enforceably is ensured. And it's the obvious case here that, as I said, our objective, the objective of the Public Audit Act, was to ensure that we give powers and strengthen the powers of the AG, so that the department now has taken the recommendation of the AG seriously. So this is even highlighted in the objective of the PAAP. So I think we have addressed this recommendation. The last recommendation would say that provide chaplain institution with appropriate resources. I think in this one, indeed, for example, I've read the chapter, the Kadasma report have since recommended that this institution must enjoy financial independence. And they suggested that their budget, not what is currently happening now, their budget should be allocated by parliament, not by executive arm. Like we've got other chapter institutions which they have, like public protest, which their budget have to be budgeted through the executive arm budget processes, of which the chapter, Kadasma report have suggested against that what the current practice, what is happening. And because they say that is going to constrain the foreign, are not going to enjoy the financial independence, because you can't beat the hand that feeds you, you see. And for us as the AG, our funding also, as per the Act, we get our funding from audit fees. And also per the Act again, we can get the funding from the appropriated money from Parliament. But this is section 36B, 36.1B, says that we can appropriate money from Parliament. But since ever I come in Parliament, I've never seen this section 36.1B being invoked, because each and every time Editor General is funded through the audit fees, even if now there are challenges in terms of audit fee collection, but we never suggested that we must invoke this section. And even though, again, the Auditor General have once told the committee that this challenge of outstanding debts was identified as one of the risks that posing a challenge in their financial sustainability and availability, but we have never even said anything about invoking this section. But nonetheless, this recommendation, honourable member, is a transversal issue. We cannot deal. It is not issue that only peculiar to us. I think another forum like the office of the OISD, Office of Institutions Supporting Democracy, they have to deal with this issue, because Parliament has not yet built the capacity to able to allocate resources or budgeting to these particular chapter 9 institutions. So I think it's a transversal issue. I mean, it's beyond our scope to deal with this recommendation. It needs to be dealt in another forum. The action plan for the outstanding issues. There are three outstanding issues that I've identified by the report, or gaps, as I alluded. For example, I said one of them was no formal mechanism established to track and monitor cases referred by AG to the public body for investigation. On our thing, we thought that this can be addressed on a short term. How? Why? Because once the bill is enacted, the AG will have to reach a memorandum of understanding in a way with public bodies referred in the bill to track and monitor referral cases for investigation. Because I don't believe that Auditor General just referred and then fold his arm. We'll have to have that kind of formal relations in order to track the progress, in particular the referral cases. And secondly, the another outstanding issue is the integrated annual report of AG doesn't include the number of complaints, investigation, or outcomes or referrals. And we also thought that even this one can be addressed on a short-term period, because with the advent of the PAAP, which empowers AG to refer any suspected material irregular to relevant public bodies for investigation, it is therefore expected that once this bill is enacted and implemented, the AG would report on the number of cases and cases referred and the progress of such cases. It's an obvious thing that is expected. And in fact, I think if I'm not mistaken, even in the bill was highlighted that you have to regularly update the parliament on in terms of the how many cases, what is the progress. So in his annual report, obviously the issue that's going to appear is going to be included. And the last issue that is still outstanding is the issue of the Chapter 9 institution, which would not be inappropriately resourced. And as I said, that this issue, I think, is a transversal issue which needs to be dealt in another forum. And I thank all of the members. I end of the meeting.
Can I
listen?
Yes, but I won't be long, but I just want to comment on performance audit, just to be less than 2 minutes. So, firstly, members, I think we need to look at this when we deal with the recommendations of the audit regulations on the Public Audit Act, because the Auditor General will just present its own regulations on the end after the amendment. So I think when we deal with that, we consider the recommendations, we need to make sure that it talks to all these recommendations of the CADA SMART and the report that Paul is presenting today. Also, as you can see now, Paul has alluded that the Auditor General has got a unit on the performance audit that he has got 24 experts. I think that unit is very small compared to other international counterparts of the Auditor General. Because if you look at Canada has got, under the performance audit section, has got about 12 deputy auditor generals that are heading those units. And I think the committee will need to do oversight and check if that unit is well capacitated. Because although the performance audit is done on the request, but you can imagine that when every committee, every portfolio committee in Parliament or even SCOPA, they request that Auditor General should do performance audit in 1 year for maybe different departments, then which means there will be financial constraints when it comes to that. Then I think also that we need to consider already the act has got a provision that the funding of the Auditor General can be appropriated in Parliament as well. If you can consider that the funding of the performance audit in the Auditor General's office be appropriated in Parliament, it's just the recommendation that the committee needs to look at this. Because the performance audit is very expensive. It's maybe, I think the Auditor General will have financial constraints when it comes to it. So that's all that we wanted to raise now.
Thank you very much. Honorable members, I don't know if you've got this document, because really what we need to do is to look at the report. And my understanding is what you are telling us now was the basis of the report. So what we really need to look at is the report. I'm not sure if members want to have that discussion first, or if we go page by page to the report, and in looking at the report we can consider what they've said to us. Is that acceptable? Yeah. Is that acceptable? Oh yeah, I'm saying with the recommendations. For instance, page one, there's really nothing that we need to do on page one, because that's historical background. Part A, for want of a better word. Are we happy with that?
Yes.
Okay. If we then went to part B, is where the recommendations and stuff came in. 3.1. Yes, ma'am. Can you say something? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's all from Goli's report. I'm just saying we must be happy with it, because I've got a correction on one of your issues. 3.1, is there any comment on 3.1, honorable members? That is about the international bodies, and that has been covered by the board. Are we happy with that?
Yeah.
Yes, thank you. 3.12, you should develop capacity. And we are saying that that has been done.
Yes,
there's no gaps
yes,
there.
No gaps.
Yes.
Honorable Singh?
Yeah, Chair, I thought what we're doing now, this is just a narrative, but there's a serious challenge with the performance audit. And I think this is an opportunity for us as a committee to say to Parliament that in response to this high-level panel, yes, there is performance auditing, but more can be done if more resources are available. I think it's a time for us to cry as a committee to Parliament. So Parliament must take these things seriously in the capacity, human resources and financial resources within the Office of the Auditor General. So we must somewhere in our recommendation say that, you know, they need to be funded better. But I think as part of the narrative, we are just saying what the current position is in 3.1 and 3.2. But we need to recommend that we need more capacity, like you said.
Okay. I guess what Honorable Singh is saying is that we need to add at the last page recommendation.
From the recommendation.
And we can have bullet point 1, 2, and 3. The first bullet point is we're saying we need to ensure the AG is capacitated to do performance audits at the acceptable level.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't need to debate it. You must put that into as a recommendation 1.
Yeah.
Anything else on 3.1.2, Honorable Members? I don't think so. 3.1.3, that SCOPA and AG, I mean, this is really what we dealt with in the Act, the consequences and the follow-up, so I don't think there's anything there in terms of gaps. Honorable Ntobe.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, I'll remember that, but what worries me at the moment is the lack of mentioning of the timelines, but that triggers the effectiveness of the measure, as far as I'm concerned. So I don't know whether it becomes significant the issue of the timelines here, that the recovery has to be linked with the timelines within which it has to be effected. Otherwise, the measure that we're taking becomes useless, as far as I'm concerned. Thank you, Chair.
I do think the Act has timelines. You recall we had a big fight about after a year, after 6 months and so on.
Mm-hmm.
When the Act is implemented, it'll cover your point.
Yes.
It has specific timelines by when you will report, by when we will recommend further after the DG has come back. I think it covers timelines, but I leave it up to members. Honorable Singh?
Yeah, Chair, just following on that, I think maybe we need to inquire, where is the bill at the moment? We passed it, and NCOP passed it, as the President said.
It's waiting for the President to reply.
So I think we need to make that point. That, you know, as a National Assembly and NCOP, the bill was passed with all these provisions, but, you know, they've got to follow up with the signing of the assenting of the bill by the President. Otherwise it becomes, so we've got to make a note somewhere.
Yeah. I think in your recommendations, you should be saying at the time of this, because I'm almost sure by the time the House considers these things, it probably could be signed, but to cover ourselves, let's say, at the time of this report, we were recommending that they fast track the sending or the sanction of the bill. All right with that?
Yes.
Thank you. 3.1.3. No, that was 3.1.3, isn't it?
Yeah.
3.1.4. Public awareness, I really think that has been done. I really do think that the Auditor General public awareness campaigns have been covered. Honorable Kuno?
Thank you, Kate. I agree with you, but there's been a suggestion from SCOPA that, you know, when the AG comes with his report, I agree about the publicity and all the roadshows that he's been doing. But when he comes to report on provinces or the early findings in all the, you know, remember he makes a big conference there in Pretoria. There's been suggestions that because we take that seriously, as a parliament, we should come, we should have a big day here in parliament when he does that, so that all committees are there and they can actually see how can they play in terms of their work, the program of action in terms of their work. So I'm just saying, even though there's publicity, but if we give it that, if we want to elevate it to that level, I think everybody would understand it better.
Can I just make a point? I take your point, but what happens currently is what you're talking about the AG does in the chairperson's meeting. Annually he has a meeting, I know there's a chairperson's forum, he actually comes and presents there. Are you suggesting he must present to 400 people? Because he does do it to all chairs, as things stand now.
Oh, okay.
Once a year he at the chairperson's meeting. Now, maybe that's not sufficient. Maybe he should do it to Parliament, but what I'm saying is currently he does it to the chairs.
I think the Honourable Singh will recall that was here in the last fourth Parliament. There was a recommendation that was made. In fact, there was an agreement, not a recommendation, that before the AG conduct that briefing, press briefing in the Pretoria, we must support to first come and brief the committee and do that in a committee, in a squad. That was the agreement that was undertaken that time.
No, but you are detecting us now, because we're not talking about our briefing. I think we were talking about publicity to the public. That's what we're talking, the visibility part of it. Because here he's always here with us. I mean, there's no doubt about it. He goes to the public. Honorable Kunow is saying he should come to Parliament as a big body. I'm saying he comes to chairs. Now, the question is, if it's sufficient with chairs, it's fine. But if we want him to say he must call everybody to the old assembly, you know what my fear with that is? It's almost that he will be taking the role of the speaker. That's just my fear, because somebody's going to be saying, but how do you get Auditor General addressing Parliament? Because that's what it basically is going to be, is addressing Parliament. Tomorrow, you'll get the Public Protector addressing Parliament. Yeah, so I don't know. That's just the point that I'm making. But I think it's sufficient that he addresses chairs. But if we feel that we want to edit, let's edit.
No, Chairperson, I was not aware about him briefing the chairs, because that's what my suggestion was, that he brief, and all the chairpersons of different committees will be there, and they can plan on what they should be doing in terms of overtime. I think that suffices. So I didn't know that part. Thank you.
All right. Thanks so much. Can we then move on to the formal agreement part of it? The AG was, that's where we are, isn't it? 315?
315, yeah.
That the AG should formalize his or memorandum of understanding or whatever the case might be. I think that's a fair point. Although, if you remember, our act did say that he must interact. Remember, we had that big fight about who he must interact with, and at some point we wanted to put the names, and we said everybody. If you look at the act, it actually says that. It actually says that they must interact. But then it goes to Honourable Singh's point. Until the bill is enacted, that thing is outstanding. So I think Singh's point will cover it, that the bill should be fast-tracked. But I think if the bill is enacted, it will be covered. Okay?
Yeah.
Additional recommendations, independence, that one, there's no gaps. Mm-hmm. Are you happy? Mm-hmm.
What is that?
3, 2, 1.
Oh, okay.
Talking about the independence of the AG mm-hmm. and how he's appointed or she's appointed. We're saying we're happy with our process. 3.3, cooperation from departments and Parliament and the implementation of their recommendations, strengthening the powers of the Chapter 9. This one doesn't need any strengthening, it's done, according to the Act. Can we move on?
Yeah.
Oh, the bill, I beg your pardon. The Act once it's in place. This is the one where I wanted to talk to, the appropriation of resources to Chapter 9 institutions. Specifically 3.4.3, it's as recent as yesterday. We had a meeting of all Chapter 9 institutions yesterday. There's a task team in place about moving the budget, as we're talking about. Because Speaker's role view is, she doesn't want to impose. Some of the Chapter 9 institutions are saying, this report is 10 years old.
Yeah.
We have
actually,
now
actually
been other things,
yeah.
Especially the Gender Commission,
yeah.
Arguing it. So
yeah.
I think what we should do is not argue, as you have it there, that Parliament must do the capacity. What we should be saying is that exercise that is now being conducted by the Speaker or the ISD must be fast-tracked, because it's talking exactly about that. And in fact, they are raising this issue that you are raising. Some of them are saying, if you bring us to Parliament, Parliament can't even look at its own budget. Now you want them to look after our budget. So what we decided was that let them go and do the work and come with a recommendation to us. So I think this will be flying in the face of that recommendation. So So all I'm saying is on 343, let's just suggest that the exercise that has been initiated by the ISD around budget shifts should be expedited. Is that all right, Honorable Member?
Yeah.
And you guys will do the work accordingly.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, ma'am.
Honorable Konowo is raising a crucial point. However, though the bill covers that, where we said the AG has got a discretionary view towards whom to and what to do, how to compete. So it has been addressed there. So what I said, it was a concern, but I think the moment the president signs this bill, we'll all be fine with every, actually, what has been said by that, yeah, that report, which has sitted for 11 years, and now we are taking the attention of it.
Just for your satisfaction also, no, the bill says that the AG annually must talk to Treasury to deal with exactly this point of yours. So once, yeah, financial distress, ma'am. So once Honorable Singh's point is addressed, all these gaps will be closed. Instead of putting it in 3.4.3, we can make it a recommendation. Honorable Singh has suggested we do recommendations. So the whole issue around the financial support, you can make the recommendation, that's fine. All right. Recommendation for addressing outstanding issues. Is that what we were talking about now? Is there anything new there? But let's go to 4.1.
Sure.
Yes, ma'am.
No, thank you, Chair. I think all these recommendations are the 4.1, God is saying to us, this is what was said and we are aware of it as the committee. This is what he's saying. However, though, I think because this is what he has said in 4.1, I thought the next 4.2 would be actually saying what Honorable Singh has actually said.
About the verb inside, the sentence.
Exactly, because all the rest is depending on that.
Okay. So what we are saying is we're going to change the issue around the capacity of the AG as a firm recommendation. We're going to take the issue around the performance audit as a firm recommendation.
Yes.
And then we're going to take the last one, the president must sign as soon as possible as a firm recommendation.
Yes.
But those recommendations, we think that AG vis-a-vis high level panel, we are okay.
Yes.
And yeah, Chair, you know there was a time where we discussed Parliament appropriating resources to the office. I remember we discussed that. But maybe that's something that needs to be considered. Where in lieu of all these people that are not paying or anything else, Parliament should actually appropriate some resources to the office of the AG as a treasury contribution.
No, the point that I'm making is I thought that this exercise of moving the budget to Parliament, which they are embarking on, would not just be an operational budget, but it would be a budget that will even cover its sustainability. Because we're making it a recommendation that that OSD, Cindy, must fast track its budget. I think it will cover your point, Dr. Wilson. Because, okay, when he asks for his budget, he must ask for his budget, taking into account some of these guys will be bad debtors, for want of a better word. Are we covered with that?
Yeah, we are.
But I'm looking at Cindy in terms of the draft, because we're not going to see you guys again. You're drafting it now. Can we then agree, honourable members, that Cindy will draft it, send it to us as you normally do, in the absence of any response by 5 o'clock this afternoon, we take it that we are happy with the report that will be given to us. Would members do that? No, that's fine. So, because I mean the deadline is the 28th.
Yeah,
our agreement is that by 5 o'clock, if people have not responded saying change this or change that, we're giving them the permission to go ahead with the amendments that we made.
Yeah.
Honourable Dubazan.
Ukoli Chair actually hint on some commissions, in a way, where because that's what the Kada Asthma report has done. It confused the commission with the Chapter 9. Maybe as the Auditor General, under our recommendation, I don't know if we can say that we have noted that there is some overlapping of considering the roles of the Chapter 9 institutions and the Commission. Because briefly, Honourable Members, is that with the Commission, Honourable Chairperson, taking for an example, the one for the gender, the one for the Public Service Commission, it's totally different. I think that what Goli has raised was actually focused to those commissions where they draw their money from executive, the executive votes get transferred to them. So I don't know if we can just say we have noted it that there was a bit of overlapping, and that maybe because the statutes in this report highlighted about the commission, if it is necessary.
I'm looking at them.
Honourable
Kuno, on the suggestion of Honourable Kubaza.
In fact, she has represented multi-party and women in their presidency very well. She got a green, instead of greening, when they came in and talked about Kada Asthma's report, that, the amalgamation is a problem. So I think our recommendation should be clear that we have got nothing to do with the amalgamation that Kada Asthma was talking about. We need to talk about the problems or the needs of Chapter 9 institutions, but when it comes to amalgamation, hey, I'm telling you, they are going to get a serious fight from women. We are saying they shouldn't be amalgamated at all. But let's talk about how to resolve them, and I think that's where we should end. Other things we still really fighting them.
I think so. Because remember, it's about this one is every commission is doing its own thing.
Yeah.
We're doing the AG, we are happy with the AG. Let the gender fight the gender, and let the human rights fight the human rights. Oh, all right, members, just before we disappear, sorry. That's fine. Cindy, do you want us to look at it now? No, we've agreed. We've moved.
I move for adoption.
Yes.
As amended.
You're correct. That's what I'm saying.
Seconded.
Yes. Yes, Honourable. You're telling me. Oh, I certainly don't belong to say something.
No.
Having said that, Honourable Members, that concludes then our business in terms of today's meeting, Honourable McLaughlin.
Thank you, sir. Just, it's not only agenda, but the matter that I raised since we last met about the two gentlemen who worked for the AG who had raised the complaint. Mogoba and Palau. The two gentlemen who raised complaints about the Auditor General's office. I did meet with the DAG. I've discussed it with her, and I'm in the process of preparing a report. So I'll submit that to Cindy once I've done it and table it for the meeting.
All right, I think that's fair. We will consider it when it gets to us, and then we'll decide how we deal with it at the committee level.
Yes,
that's what you're saying. Having said that, Honourable Members, when is the next meeting? I think next term.
Next
okay, our next meeting as a committee is the 12th of October. So until then, the only thing you need to do is to indicate if you think there must be changes. If you don't indicate, we will run with the report as amended to be ATC as soon as tomorrow. Thank you very much.
Let's get it done and have it done and sort it out. It's not going to be looked at until October anyway.